All right. We don't have problems. What do we have? Now, in dealing with the things that we're dealing with, we deal with CRs and CVs. Okay? In so doing, you're going to utilize a double trilogy in which we've been speaking about earlier, which was the 28. I got to use another pen. I don't like the green one because it don't come off that well. That's why I don't write with it. The SF-28, optional form 90, and also optional form 91. In this particular incident, you're going to use these forms all the way through. You're also going to utilize the standard form 24, 25, and also 25A. I've never seen no one have to go beyond that to go into the 270 series. So I won't really speak about that because it hasn't had to happen. Now, also we're going to speak about 14, 16, and also 14, 18, okay? In some incidents, you'll utilize that as well. Okay, without further ado, come on up, ask your questions, whatever you have to ask. Yes.
Thank you again, Pastor Tony. The affidavit form 28 needs a notary or two signatures, but form, correct me if I'm wrong, but this form 90, 91, 24, 25, 25A, they don't need a notary, but needs a great seal or red thumbprint. Why a red thumbprint versus a blue thumbprint with a blue signature?
The reason for the red thumbprint always was just as you make in a pack. And you know how you make, a long time ago, you would cut your thumb, he'd cut his thumb, you'd become blood brothers. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That was the reason for the red, because the seal should always be in red because it represents the living man. If you utilize blue, blue is cold-blooded, dead man, decedent. You're not the decedent, you're the living man, so you... red thumbprint. Seal it in red, sign it in blue.
Doesn't conflict by doing that at all?
No, that's the way it's supposed to be done.
Okay.
You got blood that flows through your body, doesn't it? Mm. Oxygenated blood is what color? Oxygenated blood is what color?
Red.
Unoxygenated blood is what color?
Blue. Okay.
No conflict.
Okay, very good. And so is it correct to say that you don't need a notary for 90, 91, 24, 25, 25A, just the great seal and the signature? Because it doesn't seem to be a line there for a notary.
No, there's no line there for a notary. But whenever you utilize the seal, you should always notarize who you are. So whenever you're doing this, notarize it.
Okay.
Whenever you're utilizing the great seal, you don't even have to sign the documentation. A great seal takes preeminence over your signature and your seal because it's a great seal. That's why individuals get those, simply because if you were to have power of attorney over someone and you have a great seal, guess what? You don't need to have power of attorney over. You just need to have that great seal somewhere by you. So if they get in trouble down the line, you got the great seal, stick it on there, send the documents through, and the individual's released.
So it would be overkill to do the great seal and a thumbprint, just one or the other?
One or the other, that's all you need.
Okay, and does the great seal have to be in any color?
Silver.
Silver Seal?
Yeah. Now, there's a company, I guess. I don't know if it's in your package.
Yeah, I'm familiar with them.
Yeah, reach that
so
company.
So always do a Silver Seal?
Yes, okay. They know more about that than I do.
Great. And lastly, I was hoping you could touch. I've been fighting the IRS for the last 10 years, and I've been hearing the last couple of days that the IRS is going to be no longer soon, whether it's 2010 or whenever. Can you elaborate as to what will replace the IRS, if anything?
Yeah, I forgot the name of the company. IMS. IMF. Yeah, that's the company that's replacing the IRS.
So there'll still be a collection agency, but it won't be called the IRS, is that what you're saying?
It won't be the IRS.
It'll be an international, even though the IRS isn't international right now, is it?
International Mutual Fund. Is that the way of saying it?
Okay, monetary fund.
Monetary fund. Mutual fund, monetary fund. Same thing.
Thank you, sir. God bless you.
Yes, that's who replacing them. Go ahead. Next question.
Federal government versus Michael Jenkins, Dan Ellis, and Gary Colombo. I was the intermediary 7 years ago on a high-level banking trade program, and 2 years ago, FBI came to my house, arrested me, indicted me, sent me back home, haven't been to court since. Court-appointed attorney because I can't afford one, and it's been postponed. Two people, one defendant has died, one principal has died.
Mm.
It looks like it may go to court like in January of next year, but mm-hmm. I've been told I need to get out of this before we go to that point.
Correct.
How?
Now, remember this, and always be cognizant of the fact that when you're utilizing a 28, a 90, and a 91, and you're putting in the 24, 25, 25A, it doesn't matter how many individuals is on the case. You see this particular box where it stipulates penal sum of bond? Leave that blank. If you leave that blank, guess what's going to take place? It doesn't matter who, what, why, where, when, and how. It buys out the whole entire case. If there was 10 people indicted, it takes care of all 10, if you leave it blank. If there was 7 people, 5 people, leave it blank, it takes care of the whole entire case. You see this stipulated down here? We, the principal and surety. Okay, that might not be the spot where I want. I want where it's stipulated that it takes care of the whole entire case. Where it tells you to leave it blank. Down, scroll. Yeah, to the bottom. Scroll down. Okay, forget about it. It's late. It's on there. When I get to it tomorrow, my mind will be refreshed. Oh. But it's stipulated on there, and I know it's really that paragraph there, that if you leave it blank under obligations, that it will pay off the whole case. And it's also stipulated at a cost of 20%. The reason why the 20% is listed upon the documentation is because there might be 5 individuals that you want to get out. And at a ratio of 20%, if you wanted to just get out one person, you'd put 20%. If 2 people, 40%, 3 credits, 60%, 4, 80%, 5 people would be 100% of the penal sum, which the 100% would be just like leaving it blank. Okay? So if you're just stipulating that you want to just handle it for yourself,
right,
that's 20%. But if you want to just leave it blank and take care of the whole case and end the whole case, just leave it blank.
Okay, and to what parties do I file these on that kind of a case?
Into the record.
Just the court.
Right into the CR case. And it will end the case for you. And you'll get the same response that others get, like, you have no case. And it's just that simple. It go away like that. Because you just bought the case.
Right.
Remember this, that all cases, criminal, civil, they're all contracts. If you can remember that they're all contracts, then guess what? You need to pay off the contract. You need a bond. These are bonds. Bonds buy things. It's just this real money.
Will accessing our account at the Treasury do anything to hinder our DTC situation?
No, it doesn't, because all the time you're accessing your account through the Treasury is truly only going through the DTC. So you're only exercising and accessing your account through the DTC.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes.
Got a two-part question.
Yes.
After the criminal, you know, whatever the criminal case was,
yes,
is completed, and you know, can we have that record removed?
Oh yes.
And then, secondly, you know, well, how do you go about doing that? Is it the same paperwork? And then the second part of the question is once that case is, I guess you can say, closed, at that point, can we, you know, because the courts, you know, correctional facility is mm-hmm. a corporation, can we go back and, you know, run a, you know, what is it, a 1099 or whatever you, or a 28 and a 91 to get the funds
mm-hmm.
as well?
Now, he's asking a good question. Some individuals have a felony on their record and they can't get a job and so forth because of their record. And at the time they have an age where expungement is almost out of the question. See? So what can you do in that regard? What you start to find out is that the courts have been constantly doing something with that record. That's why it's never been closed. Whenever you fill out a job application, they ask you, have you had a felony in the past so many years, 10 years, 5 years, or what have you. The reason for them asking you that question is because they want to know if they can hire you. Because if you still have a felony on the record, they can't take the check that you signed and cash it in the Federal Reserve because your bond is already being cashed in. You see? So they in turn turn around and say, hey, you didn't tell us that you had a felony. We can't use you anymore on this position. Reason, what they're stipulating to you is there's already someone collecting upon your bond. The Circle 750 is already buying you because you've already been pimped out. You see, that's PIMCO. That's the company that Gene was talking about. So since that's the case, we can't use you. Now, what is it that you could do in that capacity? Under that capacity, you say, well, okay, I understand what you said. Let me go and handle the situation. I'm going to, in turn, go do a 28, 91, and a 90 on the documentation. I'm going to put in a performance bond, payment bond, and a bid bond to take care of that particular incident. Once the docs is removed and they have, I mean, put in and they remove that obligation of record, you see, then I'll go back in a second time because what I want to do is find out what were they trading me at? What was the cost? See? So now what are you going to do? You're going to take that CR number and then you're going to go on the Fidelity with that number and look it up as a CUSIP number and you'll find out the amount that they have created and have made off of you.
Can you repeat that again?
Yes. You take that CR number and you go to Fidelity website and you look that number up to see the amount that they have been trading you for. See, you are the true stock. You are the chattel that they've been utilizing and trading. And then when you go in with the 28 and the 91 to release the escrow and bring currency back to you, now you have a total cost of the currency necessary. And that is how you remove that off the record and get your check for the monies that they have collected over the time that they have had you in there.
So is that the county or the correction?
That's to both. Don't limit that. Yes.
Hey, Pastor Tony, my brother-in-law has a pending order for deportation. Can this form work for that case too?
Oh, of course. 2891 mm-hmm. and 90, always. In this particular incident, the first trilogy must go, always. Then you're putting in 24, 25, 25A. It will take care of that position in which he is in and remove that obligation of record. Pay off the debt. He'll be fine. Clean right up.
Thank you very much.
Yes.
Good evening.
Yes.
Now, like I spoke to you before about, because I was on the probation.
Mm-hmm.
I did the 28 and the 91.
Correct.
I didn't do the 25.
Mm-hmm. 25. No, because you was already out of prison. That's right. Yeah.
So, now, I asked you this before now, because I have a gentleman with 17 cases at one time.
Mm-hmm.
So I can put all 17 of those cases on.
Now, look at how pretty that gets. You got 17 cases, and they're all held under what? Under one count, right?
Yeah, well, they're all different case numbers. They're all different case numbers, but they all happen in one information.
Yeah, yeah. It's all on the same record.
Yeah.
You only need one form.
Okay.
Leave it blank. It will cover the whole entire case.
Okay.
He'll be fine. It'll take care of all of it for him.
Okay. And one more. I only filed into the clerk, and I filed to the judge. That was it.
That's all you needed.
Now, when they're in prison, is it the same?
Same exact thing.
Clerk and the judge.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Same thing.
Okay.
Do the job. Yes.
You just confused me.
Mm-hmm.
When I understand the 28, the 91, and the 90.
Yes.
And I understand Chris's position. Mm-hmm. He was already out.
Correct.
My son is already out on parole.
Mm-hmm.
In this situation, he's out on parole.
Mm-hmm.
Do I still use the 24, 25, 25A?
Yes.
Okay, because he's on parole?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You want to still purchase that bond.
Okay, if he's not on parole anymore, that's when I don't need it?
That's when you don't need it, and you go 28 and 91, and you remove the escrow of the individual because he's still on record. So even though they're stipulating case closed, the case isn't closed. It's still open.
Because of the parole?
Correct.
Thank you. Okay. The Great Seal.
Yes.
I had one made up, embossed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now I looked at, I'm a perfectionist and I like to keep everything consistent.
Correct.
So I looked at the 24, 25, and 25A, and everywhere on there it's the all capital letter name.
Mm-hmm.
I had the Great Seal done in the all caps.
Okay.
Is that correct?
Yes, yes.
Okay, now when we look at the 90 and 91,
mm-hmm.
where we use the Great Seal in place of a notary.
Mm-hmm.
And on the form you have whereas and then whereas I.
Mm-hmm.
So who is actually signing the form? That's the all capital lettered name.
Okay, now remember this. Okay, move that big square up here.
There is a
Now scroll all the way to the top of the form. Bring the whole form to the top. Now you see this? On this form, you have a principal and you have a surety. Okay? Now, that's what you have on there. But when you scroll all the way to the bottom of the form, it has a signature, which is the underwriter, you see? See right here where it says no nature? See?
Yes, yes.
And then the seal?
Yes.
Only difference is you got the right to utilize the corporate seal, which is the Great Seal?
Yes.
That underwriter is the living man.
So then I did the seal wrong.
No, I don't mess with the Great Seal. I don't know nothing about them. That's why I say you have to deal with that company on those Great Seals. I don't know too much about those. Mm-hmm. I can't really answer that question. You have to ask them on that.
Okay. Okay.
I hate to say you did the seal wrong and then they turn around and be arguing with me. I don't know.
Okay. All right.
I just here and here because I know what that's about.
Well, the reason why I'd like to clarify that is it's not that easy to get a notary where we are.
Mm-hmm.
If we need to get a notary for the 28, that's
great.
Is it
easy to get two people to stand beside you and sign as a witness?
Yes, it is. Now, when you use two people as a witness, all they have to do is sign, or do they need to print their name also?
No, just witness it.
Just sign it?
Yeah.
And no other ID?
No.
Like
I mean,
who's
going to really know that they...
Exactly. Okay.
Correct.
All right. Thank you very much.
Individuals do that a lot now. Don't you petition individual things and incidents? Don't you send out petitions for that? You take individuals and you want to get someone out of office, you have a whole bunch of people sign petitions, don't you? You see?
So they would sign side by side in the notary box.
That's right. On the form, it has a witness box. You see that witness right there? See witness?
Yes.
That's where they sign, side by side. Done.
Up there.
That's right.
And then we leave the notary blank.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yes. Hey.
This is one of your favorite topics, child support.
Mm-hmm.
And you know I'm the one who always brings it up. Anyway, they have now taken my driver's license. Now, I'm in the midst of doing the forms and putting it into that case and putting it into the clerk like you told me in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
But what I do in the meantime now with the driving situation?
Well, you got to realize this, that you never needed them to travel anyway.
I know that.
So you have a right to move about the country freely.
Mm-hmm.
Thereby, you got to look at you've only been traveling anyway and never been driving.
Right.
Make sure you usher your vehicle in and get an IDP to travel around, and usher your vehicle under any type of corporation that you choose. Thereby, they cannot take your place because
right.
they're listed under a corporation and you are a traveler.
Right. Now, when I looked up the IDL and all that, they have mm-hmm. changed the rules saying that you need a driver's license to even get it.
They always tell you that because you might be careful not to look it up under the capacity of such things as a, what we say, AAA.
Yeah, they saying that's the only place you can get it from.
No, it's not. Don't believe that.
You're going to have to hook me up, my brother.
Mm-hmm. Check out an individual location and an individual called Sam Booman.
Write that down,
Sam Bowman is an individual in which he does them, and I think they cost somewhere about $350, and you can get one.
Okay. And this is totally off the subject, mm-hmm. but we were discussing it. How old are you?
On the record, for the record, and by the record. I have a guy 70 years old. He said I'm his father.
Okay.
Off the record.
Y'all heard it.
I tell you like Gene said, I'm an old soul. I was born on the day of Pentecost.
Hi.
Yes.
The situation I have is that I got a DUI, and then they suspended my license.
Mm-hmm.
And I was driving to school, and then they stopped me.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to go to court. Well, I had previously gotten stopped on my license, and they stopped me again.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to go to court on July 23rd.
Mm-hmm.
So would it be the same thing? Would I, to get my license back,
mm-hmm.
and would I, for the suspended license, I would fill out the 90, the 91, and the 28?
Okay, now, hold on. Let's start from the beginning. You got stopped three times?
I got a DUI, and then I got stopped by the cops on a suspended license.
Okay.
And then, so that made my license suspension longer.
Mm-hmm.
So then I had to keep driving because I had to go to school or work. And then they caught me again. So that was the second time they caught me on a suspended license.
Okay, okay.
But the other two, the cases were closed because
mm-hmm.
I already went to court for them.
Okay, now, this is what I'm going to tell you to do. You'll pay close attention to this. You ever heard of this video, Know Your Constitution? by Carl Miller. It's on the internet. You might want to punch it up on the internet. It's called Know Your Constitution. And go to video 2. It's a video that's strictly deals with traveling. Do that before you go to court. You'll be so equipped. The judge will be like, get this person out of here. And by the way, take your license with you.
Can you say that again?
Yes. It's Carl Miller, Know Your Constitution, and it's video 2. That'll get you your license back.
It'll care everything with the DMV too?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? Okay, and then, like, if I wanted to clear the DUI, I could clear it through these forms?
Yeah, you know, you won't have it no more once you go through this.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. It's an hour and a half, so make sure you got a notebook, because he's just like Gene.
Okay, thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Thank you, Pastor. I'm back again.
No problem.
After 10 years of battling the IRS and the last 3.5 years in federal court, where I repeatedly stated in open court and in affidavit form that I'm not a U.S. citizen, among other statements, to break their jurisdiction, including rescinding my Social Security number and applying for a new passport without a Social Security number, will applying for a new Social Security card open me up to potential civil, criminal, legal action?
No.
Can you expand on that? Why not?
No. Now you got to understand that some individuals, they have become what's called dual citizens. They got dual citizenship. They've ushered themselves into such particular tribal industries. Now you got to realize that you are a dual citizen, whether you know it or not.
Right.
You're a living man, and you also have you listed as a corporation. Start coming back into the field, into the zone as the corporation, and then that will eliminate them from ever dealing with you. So thereby, it will take you out of the limelight.
So coming back in will not bring me completely in. I'll still maintain that dual citizenship, as you call it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I trust you, Pastor, so God bless you.
And you got to come back in because we're going somewhere.
I know.
And after we get there, then you can take that away with the SF-30, rescind everything you've ever done.
Well, after 10 years of hell, which have been actually a blessing, especially mm-hmm. the last 3.5 years, God has really blessed me in the persecution, but I'm ready to make peace, as they say.
Right.
So, secondly, I was recently told that if my federal case was terminated just a few months ago, I can get the funds out of escrow mm-hmm. and or OID it, even though this thing started 10 years ago. And
mm-hmm.
Really? Okay, great. And lastly, the difference between a silver and a gold great seal, is the silver like the law of the sea and a gold law of the land?
Mm-hmm.
Or, I don't know. But it should be a silver great seal, not a gold. If I put gold, will that be a problem? Check with the seal guy. Okay.
You got to ask him that. See, I don't know too much about the great seal.
Okay.
I don't want to tell you nothing that's kind of backwards. That's why the guy was here, he was talking about the great seals. And when he was talking about it, he didn't really get into the color of it. He just talked about there were certain things that has to be on it. It has to be a raised seal. And he never really talked about the color of it other than the fact of the silver one. I knew that because I've seen the paper.
Right.
But he didn't get into heavy details with it. So I can only retain what I hear, and I never heard nothing about color. So all I can tell you is a raised seal. It takes the preeminence above your signature and also the thumbprint. So you could use that in the place of both, and that eliminates you from having to do that. Thereby, realizing that, I was able to understand the fact that you were able to use a great seal in the capacity of an individual, you see what I mean, whom you might have not gotten the power of attorney over, but yet he has so many great seals prepared that even if he's not there, all you have to do is put one on the documentation and it's almost as if he were there.
Right. I certainly don't know the difference, but my understanding is even without the silver or the gold, it's still a great seal. So
yeah,
even if it's
yeah.
just in the paper.
It could be just, you know,
yeah.
the individual for the color, but I don't know. You know, I don't know. Now, next time I see you, that will be the task that I'm giving you. Call them and ask them questions about the great seal, and then you'll be able to get up here, because I'm going to call you up, and then you'll be able to tell us about the great seal at the retreat.
All right, I'm sure you'll remember, since you remember my birth certificate
mm-hmm.
number, too. So
yeah.
I know you won't forget. And worst case scenario in my case, if I get into trouble by getting a new Social Security number, I could always use the 24, the 25, and the 25A.
Right. Eliminate it all.
Great, thank you. God bless you, sir.
Yes. Yes.
Hi, Pastor. Last year, I was a grand jury target
mm-hmm.
for a failure to file and giving false statements.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I realize now that the statements, I was talking to myself.
There you go.
And but anyway, so I've got a case number for a search warrant.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my case number, right? Just file those forms.
Correct.
And that closes it out.
Oh, lovely.
And will I get any? Be able to get any escrow back? Even that's I haven't been indicted.
Now, you have in order for you to get something back, it has to be upon the record.
Okay.
In other words, it has to be, let's say, once the case is done, still listed on there. Felony or misdemeanor or whatnot.
Okay, so I won't get an escrow, but it'll be closed.
No, but at least getting the case over with, that would be happy enough.
I'll get all the stuff they stole from me back. Right?
That's right, right.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
Yes.
Okay, on the actual 24, 25, et cetera,
mm-hmm.
Where it says principal, right now my business residence is a P.O. box because I'm not.
That's fine.
That's okay. Where it says state of incorporation, do we put the BC
mm-hmm.
number there? And what is invitation number?
That would be the case number.
Case number, because it says inmate number here.
Right,
so that would
right.
be just the case number.
Right.
Okay. And the last question is, what's the process for starting or to apply for an IDL?
IBOE?
Or no, IDP.
IDP,
permit,
just
yeah.
call Sam Bowman. And he'll send you out an application. An application, you fill the application out, you'll go to a CVS or whatnot and take a little bitty photo, make sure they take two of them. And when you send it in, you mail those photos in because he puts it in the IDP book, in the National Driving Permit that you'll carry.
Sam who?
Bowman.
How you spell
it
that?
It could be Bowman.
B-O-W-M-A-N?
Yeah. Yeah, B-O-W-M-A.
Is there a place, where's he reachable? Anybody know?
I might be able to get that information. You know, oh, okay, come on up. Now, I'm going to tell you this. My nephew used it all the time, and he gets pulled over, and they do nothing to him. They let him go. Yeah.
I have one, and the contact is out of Hawaii.
Yeah, yeah.
And... Yeah, the mic is working. Contacts out of Hawaii. I have to wait till I get back home. Anyone leave an address and email and phone number? What I'll in? I have to change one because I have a lot of.
You got to talk closer to the mic.
And what the deal is that I have to check and see if they're still available, and if the price is still the same. They were $200 for 4 years, if I'm not mistaken. And they were issued from Nicaragua, because if you get one from the United States, you're not allowed to drive on one from the issuing country.
Right.
So a foreign country, you can drive on it here. However, the vehicle that you're operating, you should not have it registered in your name. That's going to cause a conflict of interest right there.
Can it be like your partner's name?
Anyone else's name except your name. Yeah, because you ask, you know, they're going to, that's a conflict of interest. You're saying you have an IDP and.
Right.
Yeah.
And they try to trap you too. They say, well, give me your Social Security number. I don't have one. Oh. If you say you have a Social Security number and you're driving around with an IDP, then the IDP is not valid.
It's not valid.
So you got to make sure that you do not associate yourself with the United States and that you're only here visiting. You see? You could be here for about a year before you have to go home. And but who's to stipulate that you've been here already that year?
And if the contact is no good, I'll forward a call to you guys and let you know that it's no good. But if it's still available, what I'll try to do is scan it in and send the application to you.
Yeah, he's still available. Okay. We just talked to him not too long ago.
Chris?
I don't know if it was Chris.
I think his name is Chris.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because he just got his not too long ago, so. It did raise the prices, $350. Yeah, I think because of the particular incidentals that he had gotten with it, that's why it's so much.
Okay, yeah. Out of my four children, two of them are still minors. Mm-hmm. Can I do all this on behalf of them? They've been earning their own income with their own tax returns since they were 4 years old because they're in show business.
Mm-hmm.
So I can, and obviously they're not old enough to contract any of that stuff.
Oh, lawsuit.
That would be the IRS.
What kind of show business they in?
Movies, television, and stage. We live in Las Vegas.
Oh, okay. Oh, a lot of stage.
Yeah, well, my daughter's done 3 films. All my kids have been performing since they were 4 or 5.
Oh, sound like me.
4 generations.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Maybe we have you up here performing tomorrow.
Now, this question is dealing with a passport.
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing in that instance?
Same.
Yeah, I read up on that. I even did the application. But what it was saying is most of the places I want to go is not accepting it, like United Kingdom and mm-hmm. America.
Mm-hmm.
I read all the other places was cool, but...
Yeah, yeah. Passports... Sample. When you talk to Chris or the guys that's there, they'll get you together.
Cool.
Yeah.
22-year-old son. No, sorry, 21. If he took the time to listen to this, he would do it, but he's not there right now. Like,
mm-hmm.
And... he has a court date coming up the next week.
Mm-hmm.
If I knew he could handle himself, I would do, you know, the trilogy and then the 24, 25, 25
right,
A.
Right.
But he won't be able to...
Answer the questions.
No, he will not be able to. So I'm just going to go have him agree to the charge or whatever. Or
no.
No?
Oh, no.
and then I was going to 28, 91, and 90 it.
No. Why would you enter a contract with the courts? Don't ever put yourself under that subjection.
Okay, no, he...
What was the charges?
This has been going on for a year. The charge is jaywalking. Yeah. And no, so a not guilty plea has already been entered.
Explain to me what's the J in walking. What does the J mean?
I have no idea.
Does anyone know what the J means? He jumped across the street? What? Do you know what the J is?
Who was the not guilty plea entered by?
The clerk or the judge.
And was it consented?
It was not replied to, so I would have to say it was consented.
Then ask the judge whether he was making an administrative decision or a judicial decision.
See, that's the problem. I can't get... My son is not
he
confident to do that.
Yeah.
That
no, but you can file paperwork.
Yeah.
We went through a situation very similar to that. Asked the judge if they made an administrative decision, then they were acting as attorney for him without a contract, which put them basically in treason. Or... if he entered a judicial decision, then effectively the case is over with. But you need to do that in the form of a filing to the court.
And the name of the filing is what, though?
It's not necessarily the name of a filing, per se. It's the documents that you would file would have that on it. In fact, if you'll give me your name, your name and your email address, I can probably get you a document that we filed very similar to that.
Okay, great. Thank you.
I wanted to speak to you about the signature on
mm-hmm.
the lines right here.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the forms that I use, I want to show you this.
You said, see, this is the way I have it set up. In. Now, is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. There's nothing wrong with that.
Okay. All right, I want to make sure.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much.
Yes.
Greetings.
Greetings.
A little bit earlier, you took a quick look at all these forms and said they were all okay except for the first one. They caught
correct.
A couple of mistakes.
I remember that. It wasn't no, just, the BC wasn't on there.
Just didn't know what
to line two, that's all.
Line two?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
See what it say? No BC.
I've got the BC number on there. I take it off?
Mm-mm. Let me see. I must be looking at thinking about someone else's form.
Oh, right here. Okay, I put it here.
I knew I wasn't looking at nobody else's form. Yeah, man. You messing with me.
Thank
I don't
you.
Forget nothing. Okay. Next, we got, you are the last two, three. That's it. Okay, go ahead.
Thank you, kind sir. Mm-hmm. You said earlier today about wearing a flag pin on your lapel.
Mm-hmm.
And when you mentioned that, it made me remember all these politicians that seem to always wear the flag on their lapel. Does that really make a difference? And can you either wear the flag or a cross or one of those fish signs or even like the Ten Commandments? And I've also heard that wearing a certain striped tie makes a difference if you're standing in front of the court or whatever. Are you familiar with any or all of that?
That's why I told you to wear it.
Really? Okay. So wear the. It's better to wear the,
mm-hmm.
the U.S.
Makes
flag than say the cross.
Five. That's correct.
Because when I was in court, in federal court, I wore the fish, and I just did it because that's what I do. But, you know, I didn't even think it made a difference. I wasn't under any understanding. Do you think it made a difference or no? It's
only if you alert them to the fact that you have it.
Well, they couldn't miss it. It was.
But no, you have to let them know.
Oh, so if I'm wearing the flag, I have to let them know I'm wearing the flag?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Came in here to overthrow the court. See? I'm flying a Title IV USC 1. Turn this court back under admiralty, and thereby all of you are under court-martial, indoor court-martial. You're flying a military flag in the courts. It's illegal.
Okay.
Either you're under admiralty or what? You see? Whenever you see that flag with that staff on and that gold fringe, that is a desecration of the flag.
Right.
You see? Why you think the president, if you check out and pay close attention, whenever he come upon the stand, you will not see gold fringe flying around that flag, and you will see an eagle upon that staff. You see? And they have about five flags going across the floor. Now, I don't know if you paid close attention to it when they had a gathering of the presidents and other entities and other countries. They came out with military court-martial flags and they walked it through the audience. Then just like this, they put the whole room in court-martial and the president wouldn't even come out. And when he came on the scene, they had already left. And he came and he stood behind the admiralty flag. All of them were standing, all the flags was in a row behind him and they were admiralty flags. And then he came out. But all that court-martial business was already gone. See, sometimes you have to pay close attention to what's going on. Put everybody under court-martial. Then he spoke. Now he had the ability to charge them. You see?
So I have to learn those words. It's not good enough to just wear the lapel. You have to be able to understand
to
what that
it.
Means. Okay.
Yeah.
Very good. And lastly, sir, what's the problem with good morning?
Well,
I don't know. Did I hear right? I mean, you're not supposed to use good. Is it because it's a commercial word?
No, it don't matter if it's good or morning. I mean, you can use the terminology if you understand it. If you don't, go on and say it. Are you mourning something?
Oh, I'm mourning that way. Oh, okay. Now I get it. Thank you, sir.
Now you turn around and say, good morning. Oh, my goodness.
Thank you. God bless. Sleep well.
Yes.
I don't have a question. I have a statement to the lady that was worrying about not being able to speak for her son can't speak for herself.
Mm-hmm.
There's a Supreme Court case that says the next friend, and as a next friend, you can actually stand with someone as long as you let them know that you are not an attorney and that mm-hmm. you are not representing them legally. And
mm-hmm.
I have that case at home. I can give it to you later.
That would be great. Yes. Yes.
Since my license is still suspended, like say I go to mm-hmm. I go back to California on Tuesday and I drive and mm-hmm. for any reason I get stopped by the cops, can I use what you said earlier of authorized representative?
Mm-hmm.
And I put there UCC 1207, UCC 1402, and UCC 1308.
Mm-hmm. Right? Take away the 207. Just 308 would be fine. UCC 1-308.
Just that one?
Yes. And also 3-402.
Oh, 3-402.
Mm-hmm.
And there won't be a court case? Okay, thank you.
Because it's not you.
Okay, thank you.
Yes.
All right, a friend of mine's cousin was speeding, and she was doing 74 and a 35 or something.
So
like
she was recklessly driving?
No, she wasn't.
She was going so fast that she was totally out of control of the vehicle?
No, she wasn't.
Well, she wasn't speeding.
But she has, how does she get out of that ticket? And it's been past 72 hours.
Carl Miller. Know your constitution. Take a look at it.
Okay, I wrote that down. All right. And my son wrote these notes. He's 9 years old. He's the only kid out there, right there.
Mm-hmm.
Look at how you're influencing, how you're doing your job, teacher.
Excellent. Now, see that?
Yeah.
Even a child can understand. And that's what it's all about.
What do you say? I'll read it for y'all.
He talked about the thumbprint and everything else.
Yeah. Number one, the thumbprint mm-hmm. on your paper should always be red.
You see that?
Number two, if it's not red, it's not a symbol of a living person.
Ain't that something?
Number three, if you use blue ink, it means it's not a symbol of the human body. Number four, it means you're a cold body. Number five, bonds are money. Number six,
mm-hmm.
you can use bonds to get your driver's card. You can also use them to get out of jail.
Excellent. He's already a millionaire and know it. Okay, we have to close out. And that way we'll be able to function in the morning. I don't know how we always end up at 11 or 12 o'clock. But it always happened that way. I'm happy for that. Long as you get an understanding, that's what this is all about. We do our level best to go the extra mile because someone went the extra mile for us. Now you can do it for others. Okay, we'll go hence, and we will adjourn this meeting and then convene it in the morning. Yes.